And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach this Word, God, we just pray that You would please, Lord, empower me to preach this message for all that it's worth, and that the words, God, would come from You, and that You would just allow me to get out of the way, and that the truth, Your truth, is preached today. Father, please prepare our hearts to receive this message. We ask You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. In our passage, Paul gives his final illustration of the principle of Spirit-produced mutual submission as he instructed the church in chapter 5, verse 21. And previously, Paul has applied the concept of mutual submission to the husband and wife. The wife is to submit to the leadership or the headship of her husband, and the husband is to submit to sacrificial love of his wife. We looked at that concept a couple weeks ago. And last week, we looked at the concept regarding children and their parents. Again, children are to submit to obeying their parents and honoring them. And the parents are to submit to raising such a child with the training and admonition of the Lord, not provoking their children to anger. And in our passage today, Paul applies the concept of mutual submission to the relations between slaves and their masters, and by extension to all employer-employee relationships. Now, this is an important passage for every church to study. I mean, they all are, but in today's economy, because in today's day and age, the struggle between employers and employees has reached the epitome of corruption. Managers exploit their workers, and in turn, the workers struggle and rebel against their management. It seems like every couple months, someone's going on strike, or somebody's asking for more, some kind of conflict here or there, or some management or some CEO is ripping off his company and whatever. There's just this corruption within the workplace, of course, and that makes sense because we are a corrupt people. The demand for more is so out of hand these days, it doesn't even have form anymore. It's just more. We have to have more. If someone were honest, when you ask them how much more they need or how much more is enough, you might get an answer like, just keep giving and I'll tell you when to stop. That's the sort of madness that is in the workplace, the work industry today. Everyone demanding more. More money, more benefits, more vacation time, more, 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 more. And all of this at the same time that workers are giving less and less to the company. In fact, it seems to be my experience that generally, higher compensation doesn't affect someone's work at all. Those who work hard at $10 an hour will work hard at $50 an hour. Those who are lazy at $10 an hour are just as lazy at $50 an hour. In fact, if anything is held true in my experience, some folks, the more you pay them, the lazier they get. It just seems to work that way instead. Don't kid yourself into thinking the answer is more. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 12, Jesus says, He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? And now there's a whole other sermon in that, but the point is still the same. Who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. Our motivation for working hard should not be making more money. Because that's covetousness. Our motivation ought to be our gratitude for the Lord's gift of the means to support our families and our ministries and an earnest desire to please God. Now, that's pretty much the gist of the sermon today. That's where we're going to go. So let's go ahead and get into our message. Look at verse 5. He says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ." Now look at that word bondservant there. That word is doulos, and it means slave. Slaves. The first thing that I did when I examined this word was I contemplated. I meditated. And I thought about this, and I said, does this teaching apply to us today where we don't have slaves anymore? I really did, you know, and somebody, you know, you might say, well, come on, Pastor, of course it applies to us. And, you know, it's not really that cut and dry, because if you really want to represent the word correctly, you know, there's a lot of pastors who wouldn't think twice, and they would just go ahead and preach it as if it applied to the boss and employee relationship and just say, okay, there it is. But, you know, for some of us, you know, we really care about representing God's word correctly. And so you got to really think, does this really apply to us today, or is this just dealing with master-slave relationships? And so I thought about it, and I meditated on it, and I searched Scripture, and honestly spent more time on just solidifying this fact than I did putting the rest of the sermon together, at least most of the rest of the sermon together. Just wanted to make sure I was right, I was calibrated right. And big surprise, right? I came to the conclusion that I believe that this does address you and me as well, and not just a master-slave relationship. And I want to give you my basis. Here's my basis. First, the basis of Paul's instruction is that the slave is not just serving his master, but his Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the reason for the slave's obedience is not his master, but it is that he's a slave of Christ. Paul tells us that. We're going to examine that in here. And that applies to all of us. Amen? In fact, that realm of thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22, says we are all slaves of Christ. That all of us are slaves of Christ. I don't want to confuse any of you, but basically your life belongs to Christ. If you're in Christ, your life no longer is yours. Romans chapter 6 says that you are a slave to righteousness. Your life no longer belongs to you anymore. It belongs to Christ. Number two, out of the various employer-employee relationships where a Christian might think they are no longer obligated to submit now that they are saved, it would be this one. It would be this one. Because if anyone had a good argument, it would be the uncompensated slave. Let me explain. A slave is not obligated any compensation for his efforts. Right? Just do. As a non-believer, a slave's life had no value whatsoever other than what he or she could produce through their efforts. Their life was meaningless to the world. An owner could take a slave's life with no consequence at all under Roman law. They were often mistreated and abused unfairly. But in Christ, once that slave becomes a believer, his life means something. Amen? His life means something. It takes on a whole nother value. His life is every bit as meaningful to God as a king's is. And now you think about how that can mess with the slave's mind. His whole life having no value, being treated like dirt, being treated like a piece of property, but now he is a son or daughter of God. You talk about means for rebellion, means to answer back to your slave owner. Especially if that slave owner is not a believer. Your position is now higher than theirs in God's eyes. If anybody had the right in Christ to stand up against their boss, certainly these would. But what does he tell them to do? submit and obey. Now listen, if God expects His beloved children to submit even under these extreme circumstances, how much more do you think He expects you and I to submit under our circumstances? Where we are compensated. Where we are treated fairly, whether we think we are or not. To some degree. Don't anyone here deceive yourselves in thinking that this passage doesn't apply to you, because it does. The principles are for us. And each of us will give account for these principles in the same way that we'll give account for every other principle that I've preached across this pulpit or that's in this Bible. Okay, with that established, let's go ahead and get into our message here. Bondservants, servants, you, me, employees, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Be obedient. We talked about this word last week when we talked about children obeying their parents. It's the same word, hupakuo. It's hupa, which means under, and kuo, which means to hear. Come under the hearing. It's more than just obeying. It's more than just being a voice-activated, we call them voice-activated helpers when we work for Anvil, right, Reardon? It's more than just being a voice-activated employee. Go over there and do that. Yes, sir. Going over there and do that. No, it's coming under the hearing. Listen to the instruction. Buy into the employer's plan. Buy into their program, whether you agree with it or not. You understand what I mean when I say that? To buy into their plan. When it talks about submitting, it talks about coming under the hearing to really buy into their plan. To really get, to be a part of the team. To be a part of that owner's success. Or that boss's success. You understand what I'm saying? You really understand what I'm saying? Well, let's put it to the test. Let me ask you this. Ask you a couple questions here. First one. Are you being obedient? Are you hupakuo? Coming under the hearing. If you work hard, but you complain about your job. Let's think about that. No. No, I'm pretty convinced that you're not. I'm pretty convinced that if you're complaining about your job, even though you work hard, you're always complaining about it, you are not hupakuo, you're not coming under the hearing of your boss or your master or whatever you want to call him. That is being disobedient. And a few companies that I've worked for, I've seen so many of my coworkers that have just had the wrong attitude. How many of you work for a company where you were surrounded by people who had the wrong attitude? Just a couple of us? Okay. Well, I sure have. Tell you what, always complaining. It didn't matter how much they were getting paid or how easy their job was, they were always just really getting taken to the cleaners. Well, it's not, they don't pay us enough. Oh, you know, over there they pay more, and you know, oh, they work us too hard, you know, got their feet up on their desk, and oh, you know, we just going for a permit, you know, and you know, are you kidding me? You didn't give me any notice? I'm busy here. You know, his feet are up on the desk. Always surrounded by all kinds of people like that. You know, I remember when I first started working as a contract inspector out at Shell. And at the time, I mean, gosh, I'd worked for Anvil for 6 years. Something like that. 6 years. I was making $22 an hour. I thought that was decent money. One of the inspectors came up to me and he was like, I don't know how we got on the subject. We were working a turnaround and we were all working a bunch of overtime and everything else. And he came up to me and he started complaining about not getting paid overtime. But all they gave him was this comp time. And, you know, he was just really getting taken to the cleaners, you know. And that's not the language he used, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm confused here. Do you get paid anything? He says, well, yeah, they give us a little bit of money. I'm like, well, What do you mean they give you a little bit of money? He says, well, they give us $320 for 8 hours worth of extra work. I'm like, Dave, oh, excuse me. Whatever. Dave, that's $40 an hour. I'm like, you're preaching to the wrong choir, man. The same guy who was just complaining about how much he was getting paid smirked. And he said, well, yeah, you know, we get, you know, we do pretty good compared to some, he says, you know. See, it wasn't the money he was getting wasn't the problem. It just wasn't enough. And I venture to say if he got $80 an hour, it wouldn't have been enough. Because that's just the way we are in today's day and age. It doesn't matter how much we make. It's just not enough, you know. If somebody else, you know, we could be perfectly happy with $320 for 8 hours worth of work if everybody else is making $280 or $200. But as soon as we find out about somebody else making $400, now all of a sudden we got a problem with $320. What is that? Coveting. You really got no position. You agreed. You know, my position has always been, you agreed to work for that, and if you don't like it, go find another job. Well, I can't find another job that'll pay me what it does now. What does that tell you? You're blessed. Shut up. I wanted to slap him. You know, if I'm fair at this point, I have to confess that I've gotten caught up in the same behavior myself. It's hard not to. You know, you're surrounded by other people who are always complaining and you start to complain. And you go through these little sour patches, you know, in your life. You know, you try to work hard day after day and day after day. You know, you put in 100% and, you know, you look around, you feel like you're just not being appreciated and you start to get a little bit burnt out and then, you know, you kind of fall into the same trap. Confess it. Been there. Not too long ago. Last summer I fell into a little stint there for a month or two where I wasn't complaining to a lot of people, but I was complaining to a couple people about just how my job was going. I just felt like they really kind of did me raw and told me they were going to do something for me and they didn't do it. And I just really had a bad attitude. And I remember, I don't know what brought me through it, but I remember coming to my senses and realizing what I was doing. And I remember just going to the Lord and just crying. I confess that to you too. I don't care. Real men cry. Real men don't cry a lot, okay? So yeah. I remember I cried and you know, I'll tell you why I cried, because I realized that God had been so good to me and blessing me with my job. I get paid more than most people. God has blessed me with the ability to do a lot of things for the Lord and for people in the Lord. And He has given me a blessing that just, you know, I can't even put, you know, sense to where I come from. I mean, I was sleeping in a little 20-foot trailer one time, homeless, and sleeping in this thing with no power, no gas, nothing, and I won't even tell you where we had to go to the restroom, and just drunk all the time and partying. That was my life, and that's where I was, and I was happy as a pig to be there. And the Lord pulled me out of that, and He blessed me the way that He has blessed me today. And you know what I realized last summer? I really did. I had this epiphany that just me complaining was spitting on God's blessing for me. For me to take everything that God has done for me and to sit there and just complain about how it's not good enough was like saying, God, You're not big enough in my life. That's wrong. That's wrong. And how dare I be so ungrateful to what He's done for me. But that's the way we think. That's the way we get. We get so wrapped up in what everybody else has. And we look, instead of looking at what we've been given, we look at what we don't have. And it's wrong. There isn't one person in here who is poor like some of the people in this scripture are poor. There isn't one person in here that struggles to get clean water in their house. I was looking at this little character and as an Ethiopian kid talking to a woman, and he looks at her, American, and he looks at her and he says, "I'm confused. You guys poop in clean water?" And I laughed at that. And then I saw the reality of that, and I'm like, you know, we do. We do. The water that many people in villages that are all over the world are, they can't even drink because of the dysentery and the disease that comes along with drinking that water. And water is so abundant to us. We're so wealthy in this country that we poop in it. Sorry to be crude, but that's just the way it is. And we are ungrateful. How dare we complain about the blessing that God has given us in our work? Why is it that, you know, the same man who begs the Lord for a job, begs the Lord for a job, "God, I just need a job," gets a job, and within 2 months, he's complaining about how he's got it too rough? It's just the way we are, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It is not being obedient. It is not submitting to the headship. Let me tell you, it ought not to be like that. It ought not to be like that. If you are one of the lucky few who have a job that pays well, that even pays enough for you to cover your bills, praise the Lord. Now, concerning the attitude you have when it comes to obeying your employer, Paul says this. He says, to do it, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to the Lord. With fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to the Lord. Fear and trembling here doesn't mean that you have to be walking around, you know, shaking in your boots all the time. Doesn't mean you're skittish, you know, the boss comes around and you're just like, you know, That's not what it's getting at here, but it's talking about an extreme reverence, an extreme respect for your boss, an extreme respect for those who employ you with a sincere heart as to the Lord, as if it was God that was employing you, because realistically it is. It means the thought of answering back to your boss should never cross your mind. It should terrify you. You know, some people are just so, they can just bounce back at the boss and mouth off and, you know, really give the boss a hard time and make that boss's job just miserable, and it doesn't affect him a bit. That has no place in a Christian's life. You are to respect your boss and appreciate the fact that he has given you a job. That he allows you to work there. Appreciate the fact that God has blessed you through him. That it's not about him, but it's about the Lord. And to use myself as an example, you know, you may wonder why I like to use myself as an example. Well, number one, I know what I've done, and I can be honest about it. But I know what I've done better than I know what any of you have done. And it probably wouldn't be fair for me to use some of you as an example. But, you know, more importantly is you just know I struggle with the same things you guys do. I struggle with the same things you guys do. I want you ever to think that I'm up here preaching as if, you know, you guys are all the dirty, wicked sinners and I've got it all together. Because, you know, I struggle. I do strive for perfection. I do strive to be as close as I can to Christ, but I'm just a human. I'm a flesh, and I stumble all the time. So now that I told you that, here it is. Last summer, I had a particular day that I had gotten less than 2 hours of sleep because of my back. And the 2 hours of sleep I had, it weren't quality. I mean, it wasn't together. It was like stumbled, staggered, and I just couldn't sleep because of my back. You guys know the back pain I was going through then. I still am going through some back pain, but not the way I was last summer. And you know, I came into work and went and I logged into my computer and started going about my work, you know, my normal day and everything else. And one of the engineers came to my office and he says, "Hey, you coming to your meeting?" And I'm like, "What?" I had scheduled a meeting with the engineers and my boss. And so here I am trolling into my own meeting that I'm facilitating late. Oh, wonderful way to start off the day, you know. So I'm just like, oh, you know, just whatever. That was my catchphrase, whatever. So I go to log into our computer. Our computer takes forever in the conference room to log into. It's just a mess. And I'm like, you know, I was struggling with that. I just said, you know, whatever, I'll just wing this. And so then I get over and I sit in and I'm like, well, you know, should I go get the whatever. And my boss looks at me, how dare he? He looks at me and he says, "Hey, Pat, you got a problem?" I said, "Well, yeah, you know, I just got 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm just really struggling." He goes, "You know, Pat, you got a real attitude right now. You're sitting there, whatever, whatever, whatever." And he just really laid into me. You know, I wasn't in the mood for that. I wasn't. And I look back at him and I go, "Okay, so you think I got an attitude right now?" I said that to my boss. And you know, I won. He got real quiet. I said that in front of other people too. He got real quiet. Let me have that one. After the meeting, I went to my office and the Holy Spirit really started to work on me. And I thought, and the thing that terrified me the most, I didn't care about getting fired. I knew that wasn't going to happen. That's, you know, not over something like that. But the thing that terrified me was I thought about my witness. I thought about my Christian witness and what I had just done to my Christian witness. And I don't know, I just got this knot in my stomach. I just felt like that was just wrong. How dare I talk to my boss like that? And I went down to his office and I knocked on the door and I said, "Hey, Theron, I just want to tell you, I just need to tell you, I was out of line. And I'm sorry. I should not." And he says, "You know, don't worry about it, Pat. It's okay. We all have our days. You know, just remember, you know, whatever happens in PEI stays in PEI and just don't ever do that outside of here." And I was like, you know, he totally was trying to let me off the hook. I didn't take that though. I didn't accept that. I said, "No, Theron, it was wrong. And I got no business talking to you like that. And that was not a good Christian witness. And I'm sorry." Now, I could have taken his out and I could have gone with it. I could have just, you know, said, "Okay, you know, yeah, we all have bad days. Yeah, he's right. You know, 2 hours of sleep, that's pretty tough, you know. And some nights I get 5 hours of sleep and then four and then five and then, you know, I get in these bad moods and everything else. And, you know, I could go with this. I've got him." But, you know, the problem with that is as soon as you start accepting excuses, there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse. Let me tell you, there's no excuse good enough. You have no right to answer back to your boss. If you don't like what they're saying, it's okay to tell them, "Hey, look, that, you know, you're yelling at me right now, and I don't appreciate that, and I'd like to talk to you about it later," or whatever. And, you know, it's okay to talk to your boss in a respectful manner, but it is never okay to yell at your boss or answer back to your boss. Not as a Christian. It is not okay. When we talk to our bosses, we should do so with fear and trembling. Not because we're scared of him, but because we're scared of who? The Lord. Because how you deal with your boss, how you deal with your workplace, reflects on Christ. And as we've said here 100 times, you are the only Bible that many people in your life will ever read. Look at what Paul says. He says, "As to Christ, As to Christ, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of hearts. As to Christ, not with thy service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The reason why we submit to our bosses isn't because they're paying us. It isn't because we're afraid they will fire us. The reason why we submit to our bosses is because God said to. And your life belongs to God. The fearful reverence you have towards submitting to your boss is generated by your overwhelming sense of duty toward Christ. No excuses. Now we all blow up. We all blow it. We all blow it. But when you blow it, don't just accept the out. Don't just accept the excuse. You make it right. However you have to. You go to that boss. You go to whoever and you apologize. And you establish the line of authority which you unrightfully stole from them. Okay, here's the second question. We only have two. And this one's shorter. Second question. First one was whether or not complaining was obedient. Second one here is, here it is. Is it being obedient if you only work hard when the boss is around to see it? That's stupid, isn't it? Isn't that a stupid question? There's no such thing as a stupid question except that one. That was pretty stupid. Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. That would be called hypocrisy. If the only time you work hard is when your boss is around to see it, you're a hypocrite. Look at verse 6. He says, not with eye service. Eye service there. Not with eye service there is ophthema. Do lay okay, there's going to be a test. Okay, so pay attention to this. It means working harder when you're seen. Working harder when you're seen. We've all heard the saying, right? When the cat's not home, the mice will play. I know when the boss is out of the office, for some reason our office building gets that much louder. If you know what I'm saying. When the boss isn't around, conversations get longer. Some days horseplay erupts through the building. Not when the boss is around. How many of you have been in one of those longer conversations in which you know you're really entitled to by your break and then the boss walks in the room and you get uncomfortable? Ever do that? Like, Pat, how do you know? I know. I know. It's wrong. I had a man call my house the other day. And he says, is this Mr. Tal? I says, yes, Mr. Tal. I was like, okay, this is a telemarketer. How do I get rid of him very quickly without being too rude? And he says, hi, I'm with so-and-so. From such and such credit, da 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 da, and he says, we would like to lower your credit interest rates. And I says, we're not interested. He goes, really? He says, well, we show that you're $17,000 in credit debt. I'm like, where did you get that value? And he goes, so, you know, don't you want to lower your interest rates? And I said, you know, no. Honestly, I says, I agreed to that rate, and for you to come in and make them allow me to pay a lesser rate would be stealing. And the guy kept on going on, and I just said, we're not interested, and then I hung up. But that's stealing. If you agree to take a credit card out at 17%, and then somebody comes along and they can force the credit agency to take 10%. You're like, great. I pay less. Awesome, right? No, that's stealing. They might not have loaned you that money if they knew they were only going to get 10%. See, they made an agreement with you that you would pay 17%, and if you would pay 17%, they would loan you this much money. If you're a man of integrity, if you're a man of your word, or a woman of integrity, a woman of your word, what are you obligated to do? Hold up your end of the bargain, right? For you to come in afterwards and force them to change the terms is stealing. It's wrong. Let me tell you, the same thing applies in work. If you agree to go to work for somebody for $9 and what's minimum wage? $9.19 an hour. If you agree to go to work for $9.19 an hour, and you go there and that's what they pay you, and they hold up their end of the bargain and they're paying you $9.19 of an hour to work this many hours, and you turn around and you demand more? Or you turn around and you say, you know what, I'm only getting minimum wage. I'm going to take an hour-long break. Darn it, this job ain't worth it anyway. I'm only getting minimum wage. Boss isn't around. I'm going to take it easy. You're a thief. You're stealing. It is wrong. It is wrong to have that attitude. You agreed to do a certain amount of work for a certain wage, and for you to give less than you agreed to give is stealing. And whether your boss is there or if they are gone should have no bearing on your obligation. If you're a man of integrity or a woman of integrity. You don't get to change the rules. If you don't like the rules, go in and renegotiate them on respectful terms. If you can't renegotiate them, suck it up and continue to do what you're obligated to do or find another job. And something else to keep in mind. Whether you know it or not, you know, when you think about it or not, when you're slacking off when the boss isn't around, and then, you know, he comes around and all of a sudden you're working harder and everything else, you have the wrong mindset, friends. Because if you're a Christian, who's your boss? Christ. And He's always around. He's always around. He's the one you're trying to serve. It says, as bondservants of Christ, as slaves of Christ. You know, I have to admit, I don't always absolutely do my best at work. I don't. And I'm not trying to say I do. But most of the time, I do try to do the best that I can. And when I don't, I repent. And I'm like, okay, I blew it. I know it's wrong, Lord. I'm sorry. And I get back to work. We all go through that. Every one of us here, we're human beings. Of course, we go through those moments where we're like, I just ain't feeling it today. And sometimes I'm honest with my employer and I'm like, you know, I'm just not feeling it today. Can I take a vacation time? Or, you know, I'm trying as hard as I can. I'm just really feeling under the weather here. I got 2 hours of sleep last night. You know, I'm trying. Just let you know. Maybe his response is, you know, why don't you try somewhere else? I don't know. Whatever his response is, you're not accountable for that. You're accountable for your actions. But he says, as bondservants, and if you look at verse 6 and 7, he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will. Good will there is eunoia. It just means eagerness. With eagerness doing service as to the Lord and not to men. It's not about you. It's not about your boss who's not there. It's about your relationship with God. How are you representing God in your workplace? But here's the thing. Let's not turn this all negative. Let's not beat up everybody. Here's the thing. Here, look at verse 8. He says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. If you do good, you're going to receive good from the Lord. That's the promise there. Whether he's a slave or free, doesn't matter what your position is. You want to be rewarded for your hard work? Everybody say yes. Yes, we all do, right? We want to be rewarded for our hard work. Everybody does. Let me ask you, who's in a better position to reward you? The boss? Who you think doesn't know that you're slacking off when he's not around. Is he in a better position to reward you, or is God? Of course God is. God can reward you, and He will reward you for your faithfulness. That's what it says here. All you have to do is be faithful to the Lord. All you have to do is be faithful to the Lord. I was talking to the men yesterday. My wife used to struggle with me tithing. Not anymore. So we've accepted it. It's just part of life. But she used to struggle with it. Just because I wasn't tithing. I was tithing on net. And then we bought a $300,000 home or $295,000 home. And because at the time I was able to do that. And then I changed the rules. I decided to tithe on gross because that was my conviction. And big difference, right? Everybody know the difference? Net and gross. Net is after taxes. Net is after everything, you know. And gross is, that's just what gets reported to the government, IRS. That's it, you know, all of it. It made a big difference. We were tight, and she was mad. She was mad. And her whole argument was, I don't care that you're doing it, but we shouldn't have bought this house, and then you're doing it, you know, and da-da-da-da-da. But you know what? I took the lumps and I said, I don't care. This is my conviction and this is what we're going to do. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. You know, I've been in that house for 7.5 years. I have never been late on one payment. We have never gone hungry. Never once gone hungry. We don't struggle to make our bills. The Lord has blessed us richly for our faithfulness. He has blessed us richly for our faithfulness. Period. And I guess just the thing that I'm trying to communicate there is, listen, you know, sometimes it's tough to be faithful. It is. Because you look at things in the world and you say, look, this looks impossible. It looks impossible for me to put up with that boss. It looks impossible for me to give 100% at that job where I'm underappreciated and underpaid. It's just impossible. It is impossible if you try to do it in the flesh. It is impossible if you have your mind focused on trying to please that boss. But if you have your mind focused in the right place, if you have your mind focused on God, nothing is impossible. And God will reward it. That's the promise here. It doesn't say He might. It doesn't say He should. It doesn't say He could. It says He will reward it. If you do good, He will reward you with good. And look, it gets tough sometimes to go to work and give 100% day after day. But what a great way to witness God's grace in your life. You know, if you're going through a tough situation at work and you go there every day with the right attitude and, you know, everyone else is complaining about how much they're getting paid and you're saying, praise the Lord, I'm just glad I got a job. And everybody else is slacking off when the boss isn't around, but you're at it. You're going at it and you're working just the same as you would any other time. I'll tell you, that is a witness. Everybody will see, and I promise you it won't go unnoticed. Let's pray.